Welcome to Literary Quest, a podcast hosted by us, Vicky and Marissa, where we discuss our favorite in fantasy fiction and hopefully can direct you in your quest to find your next great read.
Welcome to Literary Quest. Today, we're talking about Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. This is a very popular book, so we're very excited to read it and discuss it. I'll be doing the characters, and Marissa will be doing the plot. So, our main character, Violet Sorengil, she is 20 years old. She spent years training to be a scribe until her mother decided she could become a dragon rider. No one believes she is suited for this, though, as she is overall rather weak due to an illness her mother had while pregnant. It left Violet with chronic pain and hypermobile joints, so she is easily injured. Notably, it also left her with silver hair, which makes her stand out. She was close with her father, who encouraged her to be a scribe before his passing. Her mother, Lilith Sorengil, is a high-ranking officer in their military. She is responsible for the death of many rebels, including Zayden Ryerson's father. She has an older sister, Mira, who is working her way up the ranks, and an older brother, Brennan, who died in the war. Both were excellent riders who had significant powers. Her sister can help shield, and her brother was a mender. While she is upset about being sent to become a rider, she is also determined to make it through. Her mantra is, "I will not die today." Then we have our love interest, Zayden Ryerson. He is 23 years old and a third year at the school. He is a wing leader. He is smart and cunning. He is the rider of a very strong dragon, Scale, and is the best rider. He also has the power to control shadows. He has a tattoo that marks him as being the child of a rebel. He is the son of Fen Ryerson. His father was the leader of the rebels and was responsible for the death of Violet's brother. After his father was killed, he ended up in what was essentially foster care and met his best friend Liam there. Zayden is more caring than he would like to let on, and despite the rivalry between their families, Violet and Zayden are drawn to each other. We also have Liam and Rhiannon. They are best friends of Zayden and Violet, respectively. Then we have Dane. He grew up with Violet and Mira. He and Violet have always been close, and there have been some romantic feelings. He is a second-year rider and a squad leader. He plays by the rules and is not very flexible. He is also able to read someone's memory by touching them. In terms of location, most of this takes place at Thasgiath War College in Navarre. This is where hundreds of young adults go each year to try and be riders. It's sort of like an extreme boot camp. However, it's the only way to become a rider, which also isn't a guarantee because ultimately the dragons pick their riders.
So Violet Sorengil has spent most of her life preparing to become a scribe, like her father, when she is eligible to enter Thasgiath War College. However, her mother, General Lilith Sorengil, has other plans for her and forces her to become a rider, one who will, if they survive all 3 years at Thasgiath, ride dragons to fight Navarre's enemy, Peromiel, who they've been at war with for 400 years. This feels like a death sentence, as Violet has only been training for 6 months to face the challenges of the riders who have been training for their whole lives to become riders. And because Violet has a connective tissue disorder that causes her joints to sublux and makes her significantly more susceptible to injury, she is really concerned. On top of that, a significant number of her peers want to kill her, as Violet's mother was involved in the execution of traitors who were part of a rebellion led by Fen Ryerson 5 years ago. But no one wants to kill Violet more than Zayden Ryerson, Fen's son, who is a third year at Thasgiath War College. It's going to be a great school year, right? So Violet does manage to survive with the help of her friend Rhiannon, who she meets on the first day, and Dane, who's a second year student and who's been her friend since childhood. Despite being prone to injury, Violet finds ways to keep her body mostly intact and stack the deck in her favor when she will have to challenge other students in hand-to-hand combat. She poisons them. Despite being terrified of Zayden wanting to kill her, Violet is extremely attracted to him, And thus just gets and this just gets more complicated when Violet goes through the threshing, where the dragon chooses the rider, and Violet is chosen by Tern, a giant, powerful dragon, and Ondarna, a small golden dragon. Tern is mated to Skyle, which is Zayden's dragon, which means that he and Violet's lives are now basically tied together. And Violet is way more likely to die than Zayden is, so he works really hard now to make sure that she stays alive. Zayden ensures that Violet's training regimen gets a lot more rigorous, and when folks in her class who did not match with a dragon try to kill her, Zayden assigns a fellow first year, Liam, to guard her. Violet learns to communicate with her dragons through their bond, which means that she can also communicate with Zayden and his dragon. But Violet initially lacks the ability to block out Tern and his energy and his thoughts. And so she feels overwhelming desire coming through their bond. And she tries to escape the castle before she can jump any of her friends. And she runs into Zayden, still overcome by lust. And Zayden feels it as well, because they experience the same things or similar things through their bonds that Skyle and Tern feel. And so Zayden teaches her how to create boundaries, and they share a passionate kiss, which he then claims is a mistake, of course. And so they spend a good bit of time trying to deny their attraction to each other. And though Violet's friendships grow stronger with Rhiannon and Liam, her body grows physically stronger, her friendship with Dane becomes strained as he demonstrates multiple times that he has no faith in her abilities. And he's more dedicated to following rules than to being a good friend. This becomes immensely clear when Violet, Zayden, and his chosen team members are put in an impossible to survive situation because Dane has betrayed Violet's trust. So what will happen? Will our friends survive? Spoilers abound.
I loved this book.
Same.
I know we were a bit nervous because we're like, oh, it has all this hype behind it, you know, like being let down, you know, that's definitely happened, but it deserves the hype. This was great. This was one of those books that I like had to stop myself from reading at night, thought about at work, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel that. There was definitely one day where I was thinking, like, if I like, I had a little bit of space in my schedule, so I was like, I could start reading, but I knew if I started, I wouldn't want to put the book down and it would mess up my whole afternoon. It took so much restraint. I really enjoyed this book too. I feel like there were parts of this story that were pretty original and were things that I'd not read before. And in the past, it seems like when I've read dragon stories, they've been about dragon shifters. So the people are they're becoming dragons. There's not freestanding dragons, I guess. And when we read The Priory of the Orange Tree, I was hoping for these kind of interactions with dragons that we got in the story. And you didn't get that much dragon development, right? They weren't like fully fleshed out characters. It didn't feel like there was one dragon who had a good bit of character development, but there wasn't a lot of that. And so this is the story that I wanted. And it delivered.
It really did. I loved the relationship that everyone had with their dragons. Like, yes, it was pretty original. There were some, like you pointed this out, some interesting parallels to Red Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were several things that after I read the book, I was like, I feel like this is some, so most of the story is different, but there were parts of the stories that I started getting Red Queen vibes pretty early on. And then there were several things and I was like, this happened in the Red Queen, but I didn't really like the Red Queen. And I really liked this story. So
yes, same. I know when you texted me and you were like, it's giving me Red Queen vibes. I was like, oh gosh. Oh no.
Yeah, no, that one wasn't a win for me, but this one was. I really enjoyed this book.
Yes. Do. And the characters in it are all
the characters were what's made, but they were what made it. And that's part of why I didn't like the Red Queen. It's because the characters were garbage. I didn't like them. They were not likable characters. The only one that I ended up really liking and feeling bad for was the villain. So nah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like the Shadow and Bone books.
I know.
I didn't really like the characters. I liked the villain.
Yeah. Maybe it's because they're like YA books, but I don't know. We've read other
Isn't this
YA books.
YA? Is this YA?
No. There's no way this is YA.
Is it
That
maybe it's new adult?
it's gotta be like new
I mean,
adult.
it didn't feel like there was enough smut for it to be like,
Yeah, but the
I
smut
don't know.
that's in there is pretty explicit. So I
Okay.
couldn't see this being YA. It's like upper YA, which puts it in maybe like that NA. I
Maybe
wouldn't
it's
put
new
it as
adult.
like, I would definitely wouldn't be like, this is a smutty book or spicy
No.
book or anything like that. I mean, it gets like what, one chili pepper, maybe
Yeah.
two.
Yeah.
But it's pretty graphic scenes, so I feel like maybe.
I feel like my barometer is broken.
I know. Well, I remember when I read, that's a little bit of a tangent, but like I read Iktar for the first time. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And now I read like these monster books and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. They're like
Yeah.
them, whatever.
Oh, people, exactly. Like people talk about the Iktar book. And the fourth one, okay. Nesta's story. That one got fairly smutty, but those other ones I'm like, we've seen some things, so our perspective has changed.
It's shift.
Yeah. Anyway, Violet's great.
We love her.
Yeah.
I she's just, I know she's so nervous, at the beginning, because obviously she has to walk this parapet thing, which I have a question about. Is it, because they call it two things, like it's, they say the parapet sometimes, or they say like doing the parapet, like as an event. And I'm like, is it an event or is this a thing?
I think
Like it's
it's
a
an event and a
wall, right?
thing. No, the parapet's like a sky bridge. Like, think of like in the, did you see the third Indiana Jones movie?
No.
Oh.
Let me just Google. When
Oh.
I clicked on the word, I clicked on the word, because you can click on the word and get the definition. From what I remember, it just kind of sounded like a wall, which I was like, that seems wrong. Like they're just walk, like I picture them walking along the edge of a wall,
Yeah, it's like a skinny sky bridge
Okay.
with no rails.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Made
Yeah.
of.
So it's sort of like, it is a little bit like a wall. Yeah. I see. I'm looking at pictures. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Which sounds terrifying, but.
So it is a thing. That is the thing. But also, it is an event. You have to cross parapet. That's like the first event that you have to do to become a writer. So parapet is, I think, like an event and a physical thing. Yeah. So she does that and super kind. She that's where she meets Rhiannon and this poor schmuck who dies almost immediately on the thing. But she with Rhiannon, she gives her one of her shoes because it's got some grip to it, and Rhiannon's shoes are just smooth on the bottom, so she can fall off this thing. And that was so kind and so thoughtful, but at the same time, I was thinking, what are you gonna do if she falls off and you got mismatched shoes?
Yeah. Well, also, like while you're reading it, it mentions, so they switch left feet, right? It mentions like multiple, I think at least twice, about her left foot slipping. And I
Yeah.
was like, oh man, it
It's
really
that
did mention
shoe.
that. Yeah, it's that shoe. Yeah. I was nervous. He made me nervous. But so it starts out like this, because it's like the beginning of the book, and her sister is like, she can't do it. She's gonna die like immediately, which is
A
not
lot of
nice.
comfort there.
I know. Well, because she was, her mother was ill when she was pregnant, and now I guess that I wasn't completely sure. I wasn't completely positive exactly how she ended up with her connect. You said it was connected to it, something.
Yeah, she has a connective tissue disorder.
Yeah.
So to me, it reads like she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. That's a connective tissue disorder. I see patients with it sometimes, and it reads like how she's described it. Hyper mobile, hyper flexible, prone to injury, sometimes chronic pain, and a bunch of other issues potentially. And it occurs with varying degrees of severity. So there are some people who have a lot of issues related to it, and there are some folks who they're less significant. So it just depends. The author mentions having a connective tissue disorder in the acknowledgments. And so I love that she's written a character to represent that and maybe like the struggle that she has, because what we would say most likely is that Violet's someone who would qualify as like abled passing, right? She has a disorder that still allows her to look like someone who is maybe does not have a disability. And I think that representation is important. One, just because we don't see many characters who have disabilities. I can think of two right now. One of them was the female character in A Curse So Dark and Lonely. And then Geralt of Rivia, who had chronic pain.
Just the new book by Opal Rain, the main female lead is blind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's, I get, and hopefully this is something that we're seeing shift a little bit more. But I think it's important to have characters who have that type of representation. But I also think with the way that she's written to this character, it brings to light some of the struggles that come with being abled passing. And so I think that representation is really great. But I think that the way that people talk about Violet, oh, speaks to ableism and is awful. So my she here overhears Myra, her sister, having that conversation with her mom about how Violet's gonna die, like an hour before she has to try to do this thing.
That is not what you want to hear.
Not the time. It's too
No.
late.
It is way too late at that point. Oh gosh. That
Yeah.
was
It
nobody
was
had
terrible.
like the people close to her didn't have like any faith in her, it seemed like.
No, it was very disappointing. Now, her mom, a different circumstance. I wish that we had gotten to learn more about her dad, because I feel like his perspective would be helpful, and maybe we'll get more information about that later on. Her mom is terrible, but I can kind of see why, right? So she's like General Sorengale in charge of all of these things. Eldest son died, kind of fell apart after that, probably still struggling with grief and loss. And then is a woman in, maybe there's not a ton of misogyny in this world, but I feel like with the way that she's written, we kind of see that character who, if it was a man, we wouldn't call them a bitch, but because she's a woman, we would call her a bitch.
I think if
Yeah.
she was the dad more than anything, it would be like, oh, one of those absent fathers
Yeah.
versus a bad father, being like, oh, such a bad father. This is more like, oh, she was a man, it would be an absent father because she's not
Yes.
around.
Yeah. So there is that. And like, okay, so I get that maybe. The problems that I have with her mom, Lilith, are really more that she does like really obvious favoritism for her other kids who are abled, and kids deserve better than that. She's condescending and rude to Violet when she does encounter her. And I mean, even after it's been months and she's been at Basquiat's for a while and they run into her, like, I get not wanting to show favoritism to a student because she is the general and she acknowledges early on that she can't acknowledge her for like 3 years. But I would think it would be better to just not acknowledge her than to talk down to her. In this scene, it's because her powers haven't manifested yet. And she makes some comment about how she doesn't want her to be a disappointment to them all or something because she has this big, strong dragon. Like, just don't talk to her at all. And then even before she started the writer training, it sounds like she mostly ignored or neglected Violet, at leaving her to like her father and the scribes. So, and she's really critical of Violet. Like, kids don't deserve this from their parent.
Yeah. I think she resents Violet a little bit too because it mentions how sick she was when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I bet that took her, like, I mean, took her out of work, I'm sure. Doesn't look great, that she was so sick that she had to leave. So I think there's probably some resentment towards Violet too that
Yeah.
that she was ill.
Yeah, maybe so. And then I don't understand the reasoning behind forcing Violet to enter to become a writer.
Yeah, I was.
Like, ultimately, I think it was the best decision for Violet because she definitely has the ability. And I think with her, like, the scribe training that she has and her mind, it suits her really well. So ultimately, I think it was probably the best decision for her. But there was no way to know that before she got in there. I don't understand knowingly putting your child in danger like that when you don't believe they can succeed.
Well, she does say at some point all Soarin'gaels are riders, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if she thinks she's better off dead than not being a rider.
Yeah.
I think that's mentioned there too. But I'm curious as to why, I mean, Violet's 20 when this book starts, and I'm curious as to why she let her go along with the idea of being a scribe. If she was just going to turn around and be like, no, actually, you're going to be a writer because we're all writers.
Yeah.
You're at least going to try.
Yeah. So then did she want her to die?
I don't know.
Because it says she only started training 6 months before Parapet, when all of these other people have been training really their whole lives to get to this point.
Yep.
And it's not like it was a surprise. Maybe she just didn't care enough to invest in her until that point.
Maybe. I mean, because, yeah, normally the people who go are people who have been training, or also the children of the rebels are forced to, so they at least know and they can spend their life. But it just seemed weird that all of a sudden, she was like, oh, you know what? You're going to be a writer.
And then was there something like happening behind the scenes that we don't know about that made her make that decision?
That's true. Could be. Maybe, yeah. Maybe she just wanted the house to herself.
Maybe so. I want to know about this relationship that Lilith had with Violet's dad.
Right?
This doesn't sound like someone I would want to be in a relationship with. Did they have did they all live together? It sounds like they did at some point. Her sister, Myra, I liked her. I felt like she did the best that she could to try to support Violet.
I agree. She's supportive of Violet. She doesn't believe in Violet. But, she helped her with her pack, told her the shoes. She's doing what she can to help Violet survive.
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't really believe in her. But I think she's going to be a problem in the next book.
It does seem that way. Yes. I feel like she is seeking mommy's approval, especially since Brennan died, right? She is already known for her skill and her ability as a writer and things like that. I don't see her switching to Team Zayden at the end of this book. So,
yeah.
I feel like some ugly conflicts are coming.
Yeah, she's sort of, she's gone through all of this. So I think there's going to be an aspect if she wants to prove herself to her mother and get her mother's approval, which we see a little bit in this book too already. And along with this not believing anything, because now she's kind of been out in the world, she graduated and stuff. So I think there is going to be maybe a little bit of sort of that drink the Kool-Aid sort of thing.
Yeah.
As well. We'll see in November.
And then we have Dane.
Oh, God. I just, every time he came up, I went, ugh, Dane. First off, honestly, for his character and who he is, Dane is a good name. It's just so, Dane. I don't know. That's just my view.
Disdain.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's short for. Yeah, so... okay, right. So he grew up with Violet and her family and everything, so he knows all about her, and he immediately tries to get her out, right? Yeah. Which at the beginning I can understand. He hasn't seen her evolve, he hasn't seen she made it across, and he's like, oh my god, you're my best friend, I need to help you, right? But even after she explained, she's like, my mom's just gonna toss me back in here. Like, this is don't, like, no. And he still tries to get her out. And then even when she starts to improve, all he can focus on is, like, getting her out. It's,
yeah. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you don't get the sense that he cares about getting her out for herself. He says several times, like, I can't watch you die. I can't watch you suffer like this. I can't. And that's like a coming from, I don't want to see this happen. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, like, it doesn't feel like because of her, it's because it would be hard for him.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I started out having really high hopes for him. And then he ended up just being really disappointing. He's like a nice, quote, nice guy. Right. Mm-hmm. Not actually nice.
He
probably, yeah, tells people to, like, smile and they'd be prettier.
And I couldn't stand how strict he was with the rules.
Oh, right? My gosh. Yes. Calm down.
Oh, gosh. He 100% would have let her die in the threshing, right? I mean, he would have let her die in any of these situations. He was not going to interfere. No. There was not going to be any interference. But when he didn't believe her,
he's super frustrating. He also, and this is what's really frustrating, so, like, you mentioned this, and he talks about how much he cares for Violet, but he does nothing to help her get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not a rule that says that you can't help people. Mm-hmm. And well, so she has her friends, Rhiannon, who helps her train, who helps her with her hand-to-hand stuff,
mm-hmm.
and improve her survival odds. And he just tries to sneak her to the scribes multiple times. Like, his motivations are just selfish.
Yep. Everybody else is willing to actually help her and see something in her, you mm-hmm. know, and
yep.
support her. Literally everybody. So we've got her best friend. We've got Zayden. We've got Zayden's best friend. We've got Zayden's other Imogene.
That yeah.
girl, right? Yes. She's helping. They're all like, yeah, you can totally do this. They're making accommodations for doing everything they can, all working mm-hmm. together, you know? Yeah. And Dane's just like, I talked with somebody in the scribes. I can get you out. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even after she wins multiple challenges against people, gets two dragons bound to her. Oh, and they share that uncomfortable kiss. Nobody else has ever had two dragons before. She got two of them.
I was for sure thinking that after she got those dragons, he would lay off.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Did not.
No.
Like, first off, he's going to send her. Are her dragons going to come to the, like, whatchamacallit?
To the library.
The library? Just have these giant. But no. Now they're bonded. He knows how this works.
He's just very frustrating. I was disappointed in him as a character.
Yeah.
And angry most of the time when he showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I was glad.
It also makes me wonder what their friendship was like before they started this school.
I bet he was a protector of her.
Probably so.
You know? And at the time, that relationship worked for them, you know, but then you move into this new environment where he's a different person, right? He says, like, oh, this strips you away of things, right?
Him away into an asshole.
Exactly. Yeah, so then they change and all. Yeah, so, but I bet he was her protector, whatever. Yeah. And they had fun.
Yeah.
He
probably felt very fulfilled in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He probably felt like so with that, I could see if that is something that brings him validation, mm-hmm. he is always going to be the type of person that looks at pulling, like, people who have the potential to maybe threaten that status. So Violet starts to improve. It threatens his status as protector. That gets uncomfortable for him. She would never be able to rise above, right?
Right.
He would always try to make her smaller.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dane. We're going to complain about him some more.
We are.
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The parapet scene.
Oh, okay.
Jack Barlow.
Oh, I wonder if I should have covered him in the characters. Anyway.
What? Heck Freaking what is what? He
brought.
throws someone off the thing.
Yeah. And then he's threatening to kill her, right? Like immediately he meets her, threatens to kill her, throws somebody off the parapet, still following her, and is like gonna push her. She finally makes it off, and he's like, I'm gonna kill you. And she has a knife to his balls, and they're like, decide if you're gonna kill him or not. Like, you can still kill him, it's totally cool. He hasn't stepped off the parapet yet. And she decides, no, it's okay. And I was like, oh God, he's gonna kill you later. He is going to be a problem. So, and I knew it. I was like, oh, she should have killed him.
Should have just cut his balls off on day one.
Yep.
Like, how many people died or almost died because of him?
Mm-hmm.
They don't screen people for being psychopaths at this school.
Yeah.
He threw that guy off the bridge. He broke someone's neck. I think he killed some other people too. Like, he tried to kill Liam. He's repeatedly tried to kill Violet.
Yep. He should have just shoved him off.
I hated him.
Stabbed him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the frustrating part of that is that later on, like, she has several chances to try to kill him, and she's so determined not to be a killer, which I get it. Because murder's bad. But it's a murder school.
Yeah, it's literally like...
You're training to go to war.
just kill the guy. If I hadn't read these books and something like this similarly happened in like real life, I would be like, it's okay, you know, like maybe we can be friends after this, you know, I'll let you live, we'll be friends. But after reading all these books, I'd just be like, shove.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
We've seen too many things. Like, because of these books, I know if someone messes with you, day one, cut them out.
Yep. So the parapet is also the first time she meets Zayden.
Oh, Zayden.
I just knew from when Mira like told her, be like, he's at the school with you, stay away from him. I was like, love interest immediately. Yeah. And then she sees him and it's like, oh, he's beautiful. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She talks about his beauty a lot in this story. Like at one point, she had said it many times, and I was like, okay, I get it. Like, he's beautiful. Great. Great. And then very shortly, early in the book, he says to her, you look all frail and breakable, but you're really a violent little thing, aren't you? I mean,
yeah.
I was such a simp for him. Like, all it took was for him to call her violence, and I was in it. I was ready to go. Like, take me now. Let's get to getting.
I know. I love nicknames. I love nicknames. So, yep. Violence. It reminded me a little bit, that sentence, that quote that you used, of from Blood and Ash.
Yeah.
When he calls her like a murderous little creature or something like that. Or vicious. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yes, I loved it. And, oh, he was just so great. Like,
wonderful.
Oh, he has got to be one of my favorite like male leads and love interests in a long time.
Yes, in a long time.
In a long time. Yes,
I agree.
Yeah. They're like banter and stuff. And I loved how she was a little bit out there with, you know, her playfulness. Mm-hmm. And sexual tension and everything, like, she used it, and so many times I feel like it's always like skirted around,
yeah,
you know? But she just right in it.
Yes,
love it.
Well, I also like that she didn't cower. He was probably what she would perceive the biggest threat.
Yep.
Everyone knows that he wants to kill her. She knows he wants to kill her. That is really interesting to me. Everyone knows that he wants to kill her. His dad killed her brother. Why is nobody talking about that? Why doesn't she want to kill him? Like, I get it.
So
her mom was in charge of executing a lot of people, but like, still.
Yeah, they actually, the first time they meet each other, that's mentioned about, he's like something about like, oh, your mother killed my father. And she's like, well, your father killed my brother. And then she's like, gonna go do this parapet thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was mentioned then. And then he mentions it when he meets up with all those rebel, well, not rebels, children of the rebels, in the secretly in the woods. And he mentions it as well, saying that her brother was dead because of the rebellion.
Yeah.
So
I was just blown away by how casual they were having those conversations. Because in that scene, Imogen is like, so when do we get to kill Violet?
I know. And everyone's like, yeah, let's kill. Right? And she's so nice. Like, if anything, kill Mira. Like, because she's, you know, like, a killer. Well, that's mean. But, you know, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. Violet's not the one to go after.
No.
Oh. This. Because Violet would totally, basically, like, let you kill her. If it, yeah. You know.
Fine. But with that, so yeah, she several times in the story when she runs into Zayden, she's like, so when are you going to kill me?
Yes.
Are we still doing this? Mm-hmm. You still trying? Like, she doesn't let his presence make her hide, which I think speaks a lot to her bravery, but also her boldness and probably the circumstances they're in. If you know you could die any day, you could cower.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to change it. You might as well be bold, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really liked her in this. She was such a logical and critical thinker.
Yeah.
Too. And so she's went in, she's in situations that she knows she can't get out of using her physical strength or just her body in general. You know, she figures ways around it. So, like, when she first starts having the challenges, people are challenging her, and she poisons them.
Yeah. I loved that.
Me too. That was so great.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. She just poisons them just enough for them to, for her to be able to beat them. Not enough for them to be out, just enough for her to be able to, like, take them down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's really clever. They want to talk about how she was a scribe and that's supposed to be a bad thing for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes her an asset. Like you mentioned, she's very smart. She thinks critically. And I think having the training that she's had, the wealth of knowledge that she's gathered from preparing to be a scribe, really.
Mm-hmm.
Makes her a really strong asset as a writer and just as a person. She knows a lot. And I think that the way that she approaches a lot of these situations, like she kind of thinks outside of the box with some of these things, and Zayden encourages her to do that in some of these situations, which I like. But I think it lines up with everything that she's had to do as a character for her whole life. So she, and I think it's reflective of like what a lot of folks with disabilities have to do to function in a world that's not designed for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One scene that stood out to me along with, you know, Zayden. So for the gauntlet, right? Yeah. It reminded me of like American Ninja Warrior.
Same. I had that exact same thought.
But anyway, because at the end there's like a ramp sort of thing that she has to go up. Right.
Yeah.
And then catch the top. And but she doesn't have, she's too short. And so she ends up thinking smart, using a knife, right, to help her over. And when they say, oh, you can't do that, she tells them, actually, I brought this knife with me over the parapet. So it's part of me. It's seen as an extension of me and it can be used. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Go, Violet.
Very clever.
Yep. Very, very clever.
I loved that scene. I felt so victorious on her behalf.
But then that, who was it who was saying, ah, oh, she cheated?
Well, it was Amber Mavis.
Oh, Amber.
Back later, yeah. The gauntlet was rough, though.
It was rough. So it's a competition, I guess, between all of the squads, and her squad ended up coming in 11th, which isn't great, but it's not last.
Yeah.
So that's good because it's timed.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't one of her friends die? Not one of her friends, one of her squad mates.
Yeah, one of her teammates. I think her name is like Aurelie. Mm-hmm. Who her, and that's part of why that one was sad. That girl's dad was a writer and had just retired. And had created obstacle courses at their house for her to practice on in anticipation of this. And she died on the,
Immediately, almost seemed like, yeah, that was sad.
It was sad. But also, I grappled with this quite a bit while I was reading the story. Can you imagine how much money this school spends on its students only for like half of them to die? That's a big investment.
Yes, but another way to think of it is they know half of them are going to die, and they know they need pe riders and essentially people for the military. So the more people they have, right,
Yeah.
the more chances they have of having riders, I guess. That's another way to look at it. They got some extra on the side. Backup.
Yes.
Backup. Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know. Well, so the other event that happened were a whole bunch of people. So we've got the parapet, we've got the gauntlet, and the threshing. And these seem to be like the three trials, right? That where people die a lot. And the threshing is where the dragon chooses them, right? Yeah, that's that one. That was also very stressful. I did like that the dragons just incinerated people that they found annoying.
I find that a relatable sentiment, and I was amused by it.
Me too. Yes, they just, yep, incinerated them. But I have to question the dragons a little bit, considering the fact that somebody like Jack Barlow matched with the dragon. What?
I mean, he was a garbage person, but he was also very determined. So maybe the dragon found appeal in that. I really think that for the dragons, most of the time, the human is just a tool, right?
Yeah, it sounds like they die a
So,
lot
yeah,
too.
I think the dragon, because like the rider can't live without the dragon, but the dragon could live without the rider.
Yeah, what was it? A dragon without its rider is sad. What was it? Hold on. But a rider without its dragon is dead. Something like that. Is a
So,
tragedy? Was that the line?
I don't remember.
There was a line. But yes, you want
I mean,
to.
even at the threshing and in the training sessions following the threshing, dragons will have chosen someone to ride them, and the rider falls off and they don't go after them. They just die. Like, I don't feel like all of them are having the type of bond and relationship with their rider that Violet is with Tairn and Andarna, and that Zayden is with Skyle, and I don't imagine they all have that type of relationship.
Yeah. I found the quote. It's the very first page, pretty much. A dragon without its rider is a tragedy. A rider without the dragon is dead. Which I, yeah. That would suck. I wonder how that even works. Is there, like, how you even become connected? I guess it's just magic.
Magic. It's just magic.
Magic.
It's just
Magic.
magic. I enjoyed the threshing scene. I was surprised at the audacity of the humans and their interactions with the dragons in the whole story. But especially with this one, Jack and his two rude, hateful friends decide that they're going to kill Andarna, who's a featherling, and she is a rare. So featherlings are like rare, unstudied dragons. They don't have information about them. I've only ever seen like one before. So they decide that they're going to kill her because she's gold and she's different. And they think that she's going to negatively influence things with the dragon. She's going to put them at risk or something like that. Like, my dudes, dragons take care of their own business. They don't need you to manage their ranks. Why do you think it's your place to do that?
I was so annoyed. First off, I don't know why they're saying this dragon is ugly, because a gold dragon sounds very
Beautiful.
pretty,
Rude.
right? Yeah, okay. And okay, it's small, but they don't know. It could have like insane powers. They would
Like
never know.
toothless.
Yeah, exactly. Just not smart. They don't know. Like, if something was on record, of saying, oh yeah, we know that they are peaceful dragons, whatever, but they have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. They're just, we should kill it. That's
Yeah.
no.
This dragon that we know nothing about, that we have no information about because they don't come around, we should kill it.
I
I
wonder
feel like
why they
there's
don't
an,
come around.
yeah, because humans are terrible. I feel like there has to be some kind of underlying message here about people attacking what's new or what they don't understand because it's different.
Yeah.
And I loved how committed Violet was to protecting Undarna.
I
And I feel like
know.
she must have seen some parallels between herself and Undarna because Violet gets multiple comments from a lot of her peers about how she's a weak link and will drag everyone down and they should just kill her.
Well, they also directly compare her to the dragon at one point. So there's that. But yeah, she's a badass in this scene because she has a broken ankle. And she's standing up to these people who have threatened to kill her multiple times, tried to kill her as well, and she's there saying, no.
And this is where Zayden shows up. Oh
Yes.
man. And he's just like great and supportive, and he can't interfere because it's against the rules. But we know he totally would.
He took that one step
Yeah,
that became the
significant.
thing. He was going to interfere if Taryn hadn't. Is that Taryn?
Taryn.
Taryn? If
Yeah.
Taryn hadn't shown up,
Yeah.
he would have. He took that step that's mentioned a couple times. And we know Dane would have just let her die.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Freaking Dane. Disdain. My disdain for Dane. Yeah.
Alliteration.
But she lives. Taryn decides that he's going to bond with her. So does Undarna. They're amazing together. I love him so much.
I know. He reminds me a little bit of Reaver
Yeah.
from Blood and Ash, just because he's so sassy. I love it.
He is very snarky, but like in a loving but kind of irritated way.
Yeah.
His comments to her are great too. She, he, I think she falls off and he was like, this is embarrassing.
Yes.
You're embarrassing my family. Their comments, their banter was really great too.
It was. I liked their relationship. So she's, I think, probably the first person in history who ended up with two dragons. Everyone was all surprised. All those,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it was interesting that the human officials, the generals and whoever, they have a meeting
What are they
about
gonna
it
do?
as if they
Yeah.
have any control over what the dragons do. The humans are just so full of self-import and ignorance that they can tell like dragons manage their own business. You're not the boss of me. Humans are tools.
Tarn is mated to Skyle.
Guile.
Skyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zayden's. I keep wanting
Zayden.
to say dinosaur. They're not dinosaurs. Zayden's dragon.
Zayden's
Yes.
dragon. And they all end up being kind of telepathic with each other, which is fun. But
Yeah.
in terms of Zayden and Violet being telepathic with each other, I was just, we've seen this so much.
Yeah.
I like it, but at the same, like, I like it because they always, they can have banter, you know,
Yeah,
without
I
actually
mean,
having to talk.
communication would definitely be really efficient. Their interactions are cute. Undarna is precious.
Oh, yes.
I just want to hug her. And she's special. We find out that she's actually a child. Like she's a baby. No, not really baby. Child dragon. She's
Yeah.
two.
Yeah, she's 2 years old.
Yeah. She's just a
And
wee young thing.
she can't. What did it say?
She's not big enough to carry another person, and she's working on her flighting, like her endurance for flying.
Yeah.
But She's not like an attack dragon yet.
Yeah. I love when they go someplace and she says, Violet tells her to roll around in mud so that she doesn't stand out as much.
Yes. I also love Violet's interactions with her too, because they're very like, it's almost like she's parenting her a little bit, like, stay where you're at. Don't let anybody see you.
I love when she's trying to save her and she kind of like tries to like shoo her away to get her to fly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She assumes that she can't fly. You know, okay, she can't fly. And then we find out like a couple pages later, she can fly.
Yeah.
She was like, seriously?
I wonder if we're going to see more like dragon politics in the next book, because they have a dragon meeting. I think it's called an Empyrean.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could be making that word up. The dragons have a meeting about whether or not Violet can have two dragons, and they decide that she can. And I feel like we've not, then they, and she mentions in the story, like, they don't have a lot of information about dragon politics and stuff like that. I guess they live a pretty separated life, maybe, except when they're training or doing stuff. And so I wonder if we're going to see more of that in the upcoming books, because I feel like it's going to be necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, to find out a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope we see it.
And then, so Violet gets her dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And Dane kisses her.
Oh, gosh.
So that was awkward. Terrible. It was real awkward. Violet's like, huh, that's not what I thought it was going to be like. Huh.
Yeah.
And I guess Dane was into it. It kind of sounded
like it.
Dane was into it.
I know. And I love when he comes back later on and says, that was a mistake. And she's, yeah, it was. That was awful. That was the worst kiss I've ever had.
And Zayden's jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart, meh, meh.
Gosh, nah. I love Zayden.
He's precious. This is the way that we're going to contrast Dane and Zayden. Dane is like, all words, no actions.
Mm-hmm.
Zayden is like, I don't like you. Here are some knives that I had made for you.
Yeah, and a saddle.
And a saddle. And you're going to train with Imogen. And we're also going to train together, too.
We're going to have a ton of sexual tension.
We're not going to act on it, but the one time we do, I'm going to call it a mistake, and you're going to be like, cool, bro, bye.
I loved her reactions to those things.
I did,
because too. So many times, I feel like I'm saying I love a lot.
There's a lot to love about this
book. Yeah, there is. But so instead of being really hurt when he says this was a mistake or something like that, you know, I think she's the one who says, first off, so they have sex. She's the one who says, we can't do it again.
Yeah.
And when they first kiss and he says it was a mistake, she's just like, sure. And then like pokes him a whole bunch, you know, like by flirting with him and saying stuff.
Yeah.
But
I like that too. Well, I like that she knows herself as well. She says, sex was great, but I also know that there's no way I'm going to be able to not form strong attachments to you. I probably already am anyway. So if you're trying to avoid that, we really don't need to do this again. I think she knows herself pretty well, and I appreciate that in a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it speaks to her ability to advocate for herself, too.
Yes, I agree. I think for a 20-year-old character, we've got to really...
She's pretty mature.
Very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I wonder if she had to become that way.
Just
because of everything. I don't know.
Well, it sounded like she parented herself for at least a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Zayden. Ugh.
Oh, Zayden's so cute. He makes her those knives because the knives that she has are too big and they're not good, they're not a good fit for her. And then she trains so hard to be able to stay on Taryn's back, and she can't. So he has her a saddle made.
I just, and then he turns around and is like, you can't love me. Like, all right, dude. Right. Okay.
What? And then he has one a harness made for Andarna so she can strap in on Tarn and fly too when she gets tired.
It's just so sweet.
It's precious.
It is so sweet. And I love that everybody else sees him as being this intimidating guy who can, manipulate shadows and everything. But he's off doing that stuff. It's just so kind.
Yeah. Very thoughtful.
Right? That's not, it's not like he's just getting her favorite food or something. These are things that are going to be really useful. He put thought and effort and work into all of this.
Yeah.
It wasn't some easy buy her flowers sort of thing. Just so precious.
Also, just the way that he shows up for her, like repeatedly, even though people think that he's terrifying and awful, like he shows up for her multiple times. When she gets matched to Tarn and they have their bond, and there are like 40 something students who don't end up with dragons. And so Amber Mavis ends up being the one, the girl who was like, she's breaking the rules. Amber Mavis ends up being the one who helps some students break into Violet's room so that they can kill her. And maybe Tarn will bond to one of them. And obviously, she survives. She uses Andarna's time-stopping power, which is magical. And Zayden shows up and he murders everybody, and it's glorious.
So sweet.
So, yeah.
Love when he murders my enemies for
Yeah.
me.
That's very thoughtful. And so he asks her how they got into her room, and she is concerned that he's not going to believe her. But he does, like, immediately. No doubt. And so he calls her out at breakfast the next day. And Dane, who's supposed to be her best friend, is like, nuh-uh, he's lying. And he like reaches for Violet's face so he can basically invade her mind because he feels entitled to it.
I hate him so much. I was so angry at him in that scene. And then she uses her dragon to project, I guess, the image to everyone. And he gets all annoyed. He's like, but you didn't trust me. Okay, yeah, no shit, because you tried to invade the head. I love that she says this to him. I don't highlight it. I don't remember where, when she says it, but let's get one thing straight, Dane. The reason we'll never be anything more than friends isn't because of your rules. It's because you have no faith in me. Even now, when I've survived against all odds and bonded not just one dragon, but two, you still think I won't make it. So forgive me, but you're about to be some of the bullshit that this place cuts away from me.
Snap, snap.
Yes!
It satisfies.
S. Oh, that's a scene then when somebody, I think it's then somebody develops mind reading powers right after. Because one of the things he says
Oh,
is,
yeah.
oh, will Violet hate me forever?
That was an intense scene, too, because they like immediately snapped that guy's neck.
Well, apparently she asks about it later, right? Because she's with that teacher who scares her. And they can't block it out. There's no way to block it out. And then, of course, there's the whole secrets issue. Getting your own thoughts, but
How much of some of these powers that they get really suck? Like that one that you're not allowed to have, so they just kill you. That one guy, he manifests fire and incinerates himself. It's a bad time.
That must have been terrible. I feel like your power shouldn't be able to affect you that way. You know, like you shouldn't be able to kill yourself with your power. If you met, like, if you can create fire, you should be immune to that fire. Not all fire, just the fire that comes out of you. You know? I feel like basically he just went up in flames. So, and then her friends end up with some awesome powers, right? So, what's Liam's power? I don't remember. I know
Oh, he
Rhea.
can see things really far away.
That's right. He can see things really far away. Zayden has shadows. Rhiannon has, she can teleport things. right? Another, is it Imogene who has the power of like projecting herself?
Oh no, that's Quinn, I think. I don't remember
Is that
what
Quinn?
Imogen's is.
Somebody can do that. Just she ends up with like really powerful people. And then, of course, herself with her lightning powers.
Yes. Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Anyway.
Yeah. Back to Dane. I feel like it was at this point when she should have stopped calling him her best friend. Because you don't treat people who are your friends this way. When they betray you, they don't believe in you, they feel entitled to touch you and take information from you. That's not best friend behavior. Violet's too nice.
Yep.
My biggest fear also was that Dane was gonna like touch her and find out about Andarna being a child and mess everything up for them, because they don't know, the government people don't know that the Featherling, the golden ones, like that they're children. And that they can stop time. And I don't know if they can all stop time, but she could. And so I was so worried that they were going to start like kidnapping baby dragons or something.
Yeah. And he does eventually like violate her brain, right?
Yes. I don't know if he sees that.
No, I don't think so.
I'm curious about how that works. Does he have to be looking for something really specific? Because otherwise, wouldn't you just get like a flood of information?
When they said it, I thought it was the most recent memories that he could see when it was first mentioned, but I don't know. Because when he does betray her, those would have been older memories that he saw. So I was confused.
I feel like Zayden is in a really complicated situation. I love his character. Because he pretty quickly turns around on the let's kill Violet rhetoric, right? And so I appreciated that. But I also just appreciate how considerate he is of other people, but especially the people that he's committed to taking care of, even though if they mess up, he's probably going to die. Like there are some motivations there, but he also doesn't coddle Violet. He empowers her, and he does what he can to take care of the other people who have relics, whose parents were rebels. In addition to all of the precious stuff that he's done for Violet, he also has like 107 scars on his back from where he was cut, I guess.
Yeah, for the 107 children of the rebels.
Yeah, like, right. I needed a whole bigger conversation about that.
Yeah, I don't understand why he was cut with that.
Yeah, seems like a personal vendetta type of situation. I would bet that it was Violet's mom.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
My guess is that Violet's mom did that to him. But, like, Violet didn't ask, like, why would anyone do this to you? That's barbaric.
Yeah. She was just like, okay. And he didn't really want to talk about it, so maybe she didn't want to press.
I mean, fair. And I think it's probably a plot device. There are a few things that happen where I was like, Violet's too smart not to ask the questions. This feels like a plot device.
Yeah.
Like, when they get the scroll from the scribe and it has the information about some places being attacked that they're meant to discuss in their class, and then they never bring it up in class. Like, seems like a plot device. Violet's too smart not to ask the questions. And then when she finds out about Liam and how both of Liam's parents were killed, not just, I think it was his mom who was a commander or something who was executed, she was like, no, your dad wasn't part of this, like, he shouldn't be dead. And Liam's like, he was dead. Like, I think it's real obvious that she's not getting whole picture. And then with that book that she's looking for of the fables about the Venon and the Wyvern, and how they don't have it in the library, the
I knew
don't have a copy of it.
I knew immediately. I was like, it's forbidden.
Yeah, like, plot device. She's too smart not to be asking these questions.
Yeah.
Back to Violet's lightning. I almost forgot. the moment when she manifests it
Mm-hmm.
is
Oh,
so
yes.
good because it's in the Squad Games, and so she's like trying to help Liam get stabbed by Jack Barlow. Again, we should have just killed Jack Barlow a long time ago, but we didn't. But when she finally does, it's such a great moment because she like lightning bolts him.
Yes. It, you know what? It reminded me of Gaston's death,
Oh, yeah.
where everything falls on top of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he ends up, that's what ends up happening to Jack here, right? Everything falls on top of him after she
Yeah.
lights it.
Yes. And Liam is saved and she feels super bad. And I really appreciated the support that she got from her dragons because she's sick. She starts vomiting because she killed someone. And so her dragons just wrap her up in their
That
wings.
was so cute.
It was so cute.
Yeah. And Zayden was pretty helpful too, although she wasn't thrilled with what he said at first when they do have a one-on-one conversation in her bedroom. And he says, "You can feel however you want to feel in here, but when you leave, you know, you can't act like this." And he said that he was the same way after his first kill, too. Aw, Zayden. Oh, so because they're mates, right? And they can't stay away from the two dragons are
The
mates and they can't
dragons.
stay away from each other. They don't know how long they can be away, right? And so that's when, oh my gosh, Violet goes off and Zayden shows back up and he's like, "Turns out it's 3 days."
Yeah.
When they're talking about it. But later on, he says, "Did you ever think that it was me who couldn't stay away?" Just so cute.
I think the author did a great job writing their sexual tension. Like, I could feel it. I was wanting them to bone the whole time. So,
Yep.
I think she did a great job.
I think she
They.
does. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I said, I think I agree. She did such a good job that the point where like their kisses were hot. It was all built up so much that even just their kissing out was hot.
Yeah. When we had to wait like a good little bit for things like that to happen too, which,
Yeah.
you know, sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a slow burn, I guess. Get tired of reading books where you have sex on page 10. I don't get tired of that really, but I mean, the anticipation's nice too sometimes. Yeah.
I liked too that they didn't make it awkward. I felt like after the first kiss or after the first time they had sex, I was concerned that it would be awkward, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
They ended up going on along with life just
Yeah.
totally
Just with more
fine.
sexual tension.
Even
It's just gonna,
more.
yep, just gonna ignore it until reunification day, which is also the day that Brennan died and also the day that Zayden's dad was executed. So pretty much a bad day for everybody. And they have to go to this party and Violet doesn't want to go, which I relate to. I feel like this scene was written with the exact level of discomfort that I would have if I had to go to this kind of party. And we see a lot of the bias that people show towards the students who have the relic marks because their parents were rebels in how they interact with Liam, who has gone with Violet to the party,
Yeah,
which sucks.
it
It's not
does.
fair to punish people for the things that their parents did.
It mentions that this is the first, like, grade, I guess, sort of where they're all intermingling the children of the rebels along with normal citizen children, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Mira didn't have any in her group.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the first time that they're all working together. And I think that's cool. And you can see that. In the school, right? There doesn't seem to be a ton of prejudice
Yeah.
or anything. There has been a little, like I think somebody moved seats or something like that, you know. But overall, it's fine, you
Yeah.
know. But as soon as they left this world, so many people were just, ew, like,
Yeah.
ugh, you're a child of one of the rebels. You're bad. Like, what?
But Liam's such a good friend.
I know.
He goes with Violet, even though he doesn't have to for this one. He goes with her and he's really supportive. And then they leave, and Violet seeks out Zayden, and he's sad, and she's sad, and they have spectacular sex.
She lights some shit on fire with
Yeah.
her lightning.
Busts out a window. They said the first time they have sex, she like burns down half of a forest or something.
They destroy, this isn't the lightning, I think, but they destroy her armoire.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
was a joke. Oh, they destroyed everything except for the bed.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yep. And then things go awry. So they're interrupted with, I think it's the War Games. It's one of their other big school event things that they have to do. So with the War Games, and
Oh,
I think
yes.
everything falls apart.
Yeah, things go down pretty quickly after that. So the whole war game shows up. The person knocks on the door, right? And it's like, oh, you have to come. We're being attacked. And then they all gather and it's like, just kidding. It's the war games.
I would be so pissed.
I know. Right.
Yeah. So war games are here. That means I don't know. They make plans or something. Anyway, they each have their designation that they have to go to, and Zayden puts together his team, which has got all people who are children of rebels. And Dane is over making his little team with Rhiannon and Liam and Violet and things like that. And Zayden's like, nope, Violet's coming with me. And because of that, Liam is also coming with me. And they have this real weird interaction. And you think, what's that about? Because Dane's like, what does he say? He says something,
Like, I'll miss
I'll
you.
miss you. Yeah. And she's like, well, I'll miss you too. It's just a game. But it's not. It's not. They get to Azabine, is the place that they're going to. They stop at like 20 minutes away from the fort that they're trying to reach. And that's when the people on griffins from Peromiel show up. And everything hits the fan. It's a bad time.
It is a bad time. So Violet realizes that Zayden has been helping or supplying weapons to the people with the Griffins. And what she's learned is that they're bad, right? They're the ones attacking and trying to break their wards and all of that. So she thinks he's helping the enemy, finds out that really they're just trying to protect themselves because of the wyverns and venom and stuff and all that terribleness. So while she believes him and understands, she still doesn't, she now she doesn't trust him because he didn't tell her. And it's a lie by omission, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, and she feels duped because so many people said, don't trust him, don't trust him. And she put her trust in him. And look what happened.
Again, Zayden's in a really difficult situation here because he has full picture, right? And even though he may trust Violet, she is still the daughter of the person who executed his father. Her best friend is able to steal information by touching her face, which he does regularly, it seems like. So I think she's valid in her feelings. But also, I understand his actions and why he didn't choose to share all of that information with her.
Yeah, I think his reasons for not telling her are valid because I don't think that she would go off and like say something on purpose, right? But like we see, Dane violate, you know, violates her mind anyway and gets information out of her without her knowing. So I do,
I understand that, but it is a betrayal at the same time for her.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Cause... violation of trust. I understand her feelings as well, and she's mm-hmm. allowed to have them. They are valid too. It's mm-hmm. just a hard situation.
Yeah.
It's hard. I want to know more about her dad again, because he gave her, so Myra was carrying that book of fables, which she gave back to Violet earlier in the story, and she finds this message from him that's hidden within the binding or something, and it's pretty cryptic when she reads it initially, but then she finds out that the Venon and the Wyvern are real.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he wanted her to be a catalyst for change. And so I'm wondering, is this like an act of rebellion against Lilith? Is that why she wanted her taken out of the scribes and made a writer? Like, what?
Yeah.
What happened here? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something going on there.
Something going on.
Well, when she finds the letter the first time, she just hands it over to Zayden, and he's like, what is this? And she goes, I don't know. Like, after my brother died, he acted really weird.
Yeah.
Basically, she kind of just brushed it off.
Yeah. So they get to, is it Athabine, Athaburn? They get to the fort that they're supposed to get to. Terrible things are happening. There are 4 or 6 Venon, which is basically a death sentence. And, the name just left me. Zayden can decide to abandon the post and let everyone die, lose situation, or they can fight the Venon and also hit a lose situation, because Venon are really hard to kill and murderous, and there's no way they're going to survive, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the people with the griffins are there, and they're going to do what they can and acknowledge that they're probably going to die too. So they decide to fight. It's terrible. Someone, what was their name? Salil. Salil, one of their teammates dies pretty early on. And yeah. Then the wyverns show up.
Ugh.
And there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. And they're pretty much immune to dragons, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, there's, in that fairy tale book, there was a list of how to kill them. Now, I don't remember what it was. They have to be killed with a specific knife?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's what they used to kill the Venon.
Yeah, that's the Venon. I don't know. But they're hard to kill because dragons can't just incinerate them.
Yeah.
But if you take out the Venon, I guess that made them and controlled them. Mm-hmm. They all fall.
Yeah.
Pretty vicious, though.
It's pretty terrible.
So, mm-hmm.
Lot of violence. I think it's important to highlight here the progress that Violet has from the start of the book to where she's at in this battle, right? Because she was scared. She couldn't stay on a dragon. She was weaker. She got injured a lot. And so now in this scene, we have Violet flying on a dragon,
mm-hmm.
staying on it with her saddle, unseating herself, walking across the back of her dragon when a Venon lands on the back of it, fighting on a dragon.
That was so badass. Yeah,
it was amazing.
It was. I mean, she just defied all odds of not only just because of her what she had to go overcome regularly, but she's in mid-flight fighting on a dragon's back. Like, who can do that? That's just Ooh. Awesome for anyone. On top of that, having to worry about her medical issues, like,
yeah, well, and all of the people around her, the person that she loves, all of her friends, like, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets stabbed.
Oh, yep, with the poison blade.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. and is like actively dying now.
Yep.
So she kills the person. She kills the Venon that's on the. And she, I think it's funny. She has this moment where she's like, "Oh gosh." This person is a student too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so she kills the Venon. She is actively dying now because she's been poisoned. Mm-hmm. And she has this great moment where she channels a lot of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And kills what needs to be killed, basically.
Yeah.
It's great.
That... Liam dies.
Yeah, Liam dies. And
that scene hurt me. I remember you asking. And I was like, somebody dies.
Yeah, I really didn't want it to be Liam.
I know. When you sent me that, I was like, ooh.
He was such a good friend to her and just kind. And his death was terrible because it was pretty drawn out because he's not actually, it's his dragon that's injured. And so if the dragon dies, the rider dies. And so his dragon is dying. So he is dying and he's to Violet saying, you've got to look out for my sister. Got to take care of her. And I'm crying at this point.
Yeah. And they're trying to get him over to his dragon, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And she's like, just come on, come on. We're almost. Ugh. Yeah. I didn't full on cry, but I was teary eyed. I was just like, oh, God, Liam. Because he was one of, like, he's just so nice. She created some characters that were just genuinely nice people. And even though they're, you know, like, there's no romantic or sexual tension between them or anything like that, they're just good friends. But we do see now what it's like when a dragon dies and their rider dies.
And it's terrible.
We see the opposite as well, where the rider dies, the dragon dies, because the rider dies and the dragon, like, cries out.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it was crying. So Violet then sounds like she's kind of passes out, right? And is now pretty much overcome by poison.
And paralyzed.
Yes, that's right. And paralyzed. She's in a ton of pain. That's right. She's in a ton of pain, but she can't scream. She can't do anything. So she gets taken to Zayden's hometown, which I don't remember what it was called.
It's called like Aretia. Arisha? Aretia? I don't know. I'm hooked on phonics here.
Yeah. And she ends up like going in and out, I think, for a couple days before she finally wakes up.
Yeah, I think she's unconscious for 3 days.
Yeah. So she wakes up and Zayden, who pretty much hasn't left her side, you know, she's like, yay, and they kiss, but then she remembers and is like,
Oh yeah, she's still big mad.
Yeah, she's still mad. She still says, she's like, I believe you, like, I know you're correct. I believe you, I'll work with you, but I can't be with somebody I don't trust.
Right. Yes.
Which again, I think shows a lot of maturity.
Yes. I mean, it is a significant breach of trust. Like, I think both of their positions are pretty valid. And I'm hoping that we see, like, mature dealing with the breach of trust as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. Because this is actually from Zayden's point of view. Mm-hmm. And he says he'll do any, like, whatever he can.
Yeah.
To do it. And then the big reveal.
Her brother's alive. Brandon is not dead.
Yes.
And he's the one that healed her.
Yes.
Thank you. Which begs some questions.
Yep. A lot of questions.
Like, so is Naolin, who allegedly died trying to bring Brennan back, also still, like, is he dead for real too? Because he was, for some reason, I was thinking that Naolin was Brennan's lover. I don't know why.
I kind of got that vibe too, because he dies trying to bring back Brennan.
Brennan, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got that vibe. Because she says, why would he do such a foolish thing knowing that necromancy is impossible? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, because he really loved him. So I did get that vibe.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So, Brennan is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to come from that? And also, like, I feel like I just need a lot more information about what the other people know about the Venon actually being alive. Like, do all people who ride dragons in the ward know that the Venon are alive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is this going to turn into an overthrow the monarchy story? Because I hope it does.
Oh, yeah.
And also, or just the leadership.
Burn it down.
Leadership in Navarre sucks. Yep. Garbage people leaving their enemy to fight off the Venon. I feel like, I don't know. Maybe they don't all know about the Venon because.
Well, because Mira would know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just need more details. Like, I can't wait for the next book. It's going to be great.
Yep. November comes out.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Would you consider, because it basically ends with Brennan walks in and it's like, oh, Brennan's alive. And do you consider that a cliffhanger? Or
It didn't really feel like a cliffhanger to me.
Right, because they didn't end in like the middle of a huge event happening or anything like that. Because I think some of the reviews mentioned like, oh, just so you know, it ends on a cliff. And I was like, I don't, I wouldn't, I would consider this like a hill.
Yeah, a grassy hill.
Yeah. A grassy knoll, because we don't, you know, but everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. Oh, something else that I thought was interesting that we find out when they're at that fortress is there's a general, I can't remember his name. It starts with an M. He can see the outcome of all battles, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so Violet makes a comment to Zayden about being concerned because he's going to know how things are going to pan out. And Zayden says, I assure you, he's not going to have any idea what happens, right? And so we find out that the law, so there's a law that three or more of the rebels, the people with the relics, they can't be together, or it's like treason or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because when they're together, that guy can't see what's going to happen. Which I think is interesting because the dragon, I think it's his dragon, was the one that gave them that relic. So did he know that that was going to happen when he gave them the relic? And is that guy's dragon like a bad dragon, or he, and because like he's the leader of the dragon. So is there going to be a dragon uprising? Do all of the dragons know about the Vinnin?
Yeah.
I just have a lot of questions, which is good. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes. I know. Yes. It left with a lot of questions, but at least we didn't leave with feeling like people were in danger.
Yes. Everybody's safe. I feel okay about that.
You think Dane's going to die? I think Dane's.
I hope she cuts his hands off. Touching anybody's freaking faces anymore without consent.
Yep.
Do you have any quotes you want to share?
I do. So I have two. They kind of go together. So one of the professors, I don't know which one, says this to Violet, not all strength is physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taryn says to her, because she's questioning, why did you pick me?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, strength of courage is more important than physical strength. So this is like, I think this is just kind of a huge overall theme in the book. And I love it. I love it seeing, you know, somebody who's so clever and cunning and smart.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Any quotes?
Well, I like this quote that Taryn says to Violet when she's praying to her gods or something. Like, he scoffs and he says, dragons pay no heed to your puny gods. I just thought that that was a funny comment to insert.
That's cute.
He's just such an attitude. But also, again, I think it just goes back to like humans wanting to have control over like a lot of things. And so dragons are like this isn't a thing.
Saying gods, though, it makes me think. So one point in one of their sex scenes, she says god or oh gods or something. And he says something along the lines, well, I appreciate the elevation to deity. You can just call my name. I loved that. Excited to see more of them. And I think this will definitely be a reread book too. I will be reading this.
100%. I love this book. That wraps up Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. Join us next week for Barbarian Mine. That is one of the Ice Planet Barbarian books by Ruby Dixon. It's the first one that we've talked about. We're real excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. We hope you join us next time. Thank you for listening to Literary Quest. We hope you enjoyed our episode. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we can be found at Literary Quest Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You're also welcome to share your thoughts and ideas with us via email at literaryquestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.